Dave asked me a while ago to give the talk, and I said, okay, you know, usually I do August, and but I knew I was going to be gone a lot this summer, and I thought, well, I'll just use the talk that I did in June for the young adults' journey with Christ. But after we got back from all our travels, I looked at it, and I thought, oh, it's a different audience and a different situation, and that talk doesn't really fit. So what am I going to do? And you know how sometimes you hear things from God in different situations from different sources, but it's always the same message. And so the message today is one that God's been talking to me about. And he kind of said, well, why don't you put some thoughts together and present that today. So the title is Transformation in Christ. And the scripture reference, the main one, is Romans 12, 1 through 2, although I do have some other scriptures as well. And it came about because 2 weeks ago, as I was sitting in the park across the street, listening to Pastors Sean and Jeff, they were speaking about the difference between going through a transaction and experiencing a real transformation. And their words really made me stop and think. The difference between a transaction and a transformation. And they reminded me of the verses in Romans 12 that my high school Sunday school teacher challenged us to memorize way back, long ago. And we didn't have different translations, so we memorized the King James Version. So that's what I'm going to read right now. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so transformation means change. And I want to share with you now a song. It's called The Change in Me by Casting Crowns.
Standing at my hidden doors within, will you wait for me to let you in, so you can set me free? Your spirit is a wrecking ball, tearing through my rebel walls. One by one I watch them fall, till you are all I see. Spirit is alive.
That song is my prayer. That he would burn away all the old, and what is left is Jesus in me. I'm thinking about transformation and change. I have to ask myself if I have truly allowed God to transform me. In this way, like the scripture says, renewing my mind and burning away all the old, like the song talks about. And is Jesus, is the Spirit, the very air that I breathe? Because being transformed means that something life-altering occurs. And as God's been talking to me about transforming and changing, I have to ask myself, do I live my life in such a way that others can see that I've been changed? And Dave and I have a lot of things going on with families, and we are dealing with a lot of kind of end of life, the later stage of life situations. And it kind of makes me wonder that when I die, you know, how will people speak about me? Will they know that I love Jesus? And will they say, oh, she really loved Jesus and she spent her life serving others? That would be a wonderful epitaph for me. Things to think about. And most of us don't like change because we're all settled into our lives and we are very comfortable. And I found this out years ago when I was an annual advisor in a high school. Tradition is huge. People don't want to change. They want it the same. Dave's dad has a joke. How many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is change. Okay. Because change is just the opposite of being settled and comfortable. It's unsettling and uncomfortable at times. And we don't always like feeling that way. However, if we don't want to change, then we block this process of transformation that God wants us to go through. It's as simple as that. And I know I'm a Christian. The Bible clearly explains that receiving Jesus is very simple. You confess your sins and believe that he has forgiven you. 1 John 1:9 promises, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess sin and boom, it's done. We're forgiven. We belong to Christ. When I was young, that was a hard concept for me to accept. It's so simple. And being a Christian is awesome, and we all need to pray and ask for forgiveness. If you haven't, I invite you to do that. But the thing is, we shouldn't stop there. We cannot stop there. Life in Christ is so much more than that initial transaction. The Bible exhorts us to grow in Christ and warns those who stagnate. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through chapter 6, 1, it says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. In other words, don't let yourself be an immature baby. Okay. And since we don't want to remain babies or, you know, toddlers in that terrible two stage, we need to look at what are the qualities that actually show Christian growth in our lives. What does a transformed life look like? When we're transformed, we speak and act as Jesus would. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And just this morning in our Sunday school class, we were looking, talk about loving people. And it had Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to add that in because chapter 3, 12 through 13 say, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Here's a big one. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Did you hear that? And in Philippians, it ends with be like Christ. Have that attitude of Christ. Love each other. Be humble. Think of others first. And they sound like simple words, but in the day-to-day living of life, it can be very difficult to follow. Have you ever been cut off in traffic while you were driving? Or something that happened to me just a couple weeks ago, have you ever waited in a long line and you've been there a while, and then when another checker comes, she invites the person right behind you who just got there to be the next person in her line, and you're like, I've been standing here. So, you know, or did you have, you know, the transform reaction would be, oh, go ahead, you must have a bigger need than I do. But the human reaction is dwelling on how rude and annoying that person is and how they didn't have the right to do that. Then there's the topic of gossip. And, you know, we know it's wrong. But how many times have we tried to find out the more interesting details in a situation so we would know how to pray? Okay. The question is, are those details really my business? The truth is that God can answer the prayer without me knowing all the specifics because he already knows them. True? Other qualities of Jesus are listed in Galatians chapter 5. Many of us have heard this list before. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wonderful words. But they're just that, only words, unless we decide to actually live them out, which isn't always easy. Jesus said, love one another. Hear that all the time. Three words. Three sometimes seemingly impossible words, depending on who it is we're trying to love. And again, Sunday school topic this morning. Years ago, I had a group of 33 students crammed into the smallest classroom in the building. In general, it's if you've been a teacher, I think you'd agree that it's always better to have a somewhat equal balance of boys and girls in a class, something about the way the dynamics go. But in this group, the majority were boys, and many of them had learning and or behavior problems. So it was a challenging year. And there was one boy in particular who had a file. I went and... after a bit, dug out his file and looked. It was a couple inches thick, which means that there were a lot of things going on there. And he had many labels: learning disabled, oppositional defiant disorder, foster child. He was antisocial and didn't want anyone to touch him or his belongings. And remember, this is in a class of 33 kids, and you had just enough room for me to go down the aisle between desks. So touching other people's things was kind of a daily occurrence. So therefore, every day, something set him off. Every day, he literally screamed in my room. And every day, his aide struggled to keep things under control. He had a one-on-one aide. And every day, my stomach was in knots. By January of that year, I was questioning why I had become a teacher. I decided I had chosen the wrong profession. I had spent 15 years doing something that I was not meant to do. And so my prayers became kind of desperate. I started saying, Lord, this boy is making my life and the lives of the other 32 kids in the room miserable. I do not love this boy. I cannot love this boy. Not at all. But you can. So please, let me be a conduit of the love that I know you have for him. And God did that. Took a while for him to get through to me. But he loved that boy. And he allowed me to see eventually the hurting child that was inside. And that changed my attitude. I've always remembered that lesson. And this change allowed a little bit of transformation to occur within me. Sometimes those lessons aren't always easy. But there are other great words in that list of fruit. How about patience, kindness, and gentleness? Have you ever rushed into a store, you grabbed your things quickly because you need to get in and out? Then you get in line and you're stuck behind that very slow person who's fumbling to get their payment, and something doesn't go through and there's this and that, and you're standing there thinking about what you have to get, you need to be going. And let me tell you, my initial response is not typically patience, kindness, or gentleness in those situations. But it should be. You know, I'm supposed to be Jesus to the world. Another fabulous concept is self-control. When I was a kid, we had four girls in my family, and my mother made my sisters and me memorize a proverb. I'm sure she hoped it would cut down on the arguing. Not so sure it was successful. But the proverb was, self-control means control of the tongue. A quick retort can ruin everything. Excellent advice. But sometimes I still have that really horrible open mouth insert foot disease. So yes, sometimes I am the opposite of loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. Sometimes I speak without thinking. I put myself first. I lack patience and let situations rob me of joy. I worry, I fret, and I act unkindly. And at those times, I don't look very much like Jesus. But fortunately, I have a Father who is all of the things that I am not. He loves me and is patient. He wants the best for me, and He does not give up. He sees me as I could be, not just as I am right now. He invites me on a journey of transformation and allows me to progress at my own pace. You see, I don't want to be an immature baby or a terrible toddler. I want to grow and eat solid spiritual food. I want to be a Christian who shows the world through my words and actions who Jesus really is. I am not content to stay where I am. I want to move forward, and I invite you to join me on this journey. We've talked a lot, we've heard a lot from Dave and from leaders about how we're a new church. We don't have to be the same as we have been for the last 50 years. We shouldn't be the same that we were 50 years ago. We need to change. We need to be open to something new, personally and as a church. And if we are, we will be transformed. Our church can be transformed. And then, as a result, lives will be changed. That's my prayer. Amen.